Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's having an okay morning so far. It is Saturday. Wow, this week has gone really, really fast and for a lot of us, and probably pretty slow for some of us. But that is the way it is sometimes. I'm glad that we had a little bit of sunshine for the last couple of days here in the Northwest because it's good, made a difference. I'll be clearing my throat a few different times during the broadcast just because I rushed to the studio. Just got the time a little confused, so I'm just cutting so close, but I'm really glad to be here. Anyway, so forgive me if I have to clear the old throat for a second. Not the most polite thing to do. All right. So I had some decent feedback from different people, and I'll give one grand you're welcome to the people that called and or wrote in, actually, and thank me for doing what I'm doing. No thanks necessary. This is the show is happening a little bit by default in the sense that, you know, it's based on closure of the restaurant. I'm homebound, and I'm here because I'm also in one of the high-risk categories. I'm a bit older. And I've had chronic asthma since I was a little kid, and for the most part, I've had it under control for the last few years. But, it's just subject to one of those things that it's even more and more important for me to talk to you all because I know what it feels like to have something that sort of limits you sometimes and sort of sometimes can be a little bit frightening. There's so many things that have transpired since the last time we talked, which is 24 hours ago. The greatest thing that happened, in my opinion, probably the brightness of the day, is that at 9:05 last night, the ISS, the International Space Station, passed over the Northwest, and I ran outside, fully clothed, of course, at about 2 minutes before, and looked up in the sky in the area that they suggested, and luckily where I am, it was pretty dark, and I was wondering, where is it going to be? Where is it going to happen? I have seen it before, but I have to say I've never seen it as bright as I did last night. Suddenly, it could have been a plane, lived fairly close to a Navy air base and a small airport on the island here. So you'll see planes constantly coming and going and landing. But there was no noise whatsoever. It was quiet as a pin, scarily quiet a little bit. And suddenly looking up in the sky, there was a little teeny dot that was bright, looked like a star. And it started to move, and it was moving fairly quickly. In fact, it only lasted about 3 minutes. I did get it on video, and what looks like a little dot going across a little iPhone screen. But I was happy that I captured it, and I did post it, and I'll be posting it again today just for people who might have missed it. Listen, it's a little pleasure. It didn't cost anything other than giving me and hopefully many, many other people a chance to take a break, get a little fresh air and stare at the sky. And I asked when I posted the information about it that to use that time in whatever way you meditate or pray to just use those 3 to 8 minutes of the passing of this miracle, amazing space station to thank goodness for, each other and our family and friends, which is really the heart of the matter. Going to help us weather each day right now. In the Northwest, in the Seattle area, as well as the rest of the country, people's lives have changed drastically in the last 24, days, and specifically in the last 1 week, where suddenly the freedom to be able to do a lot of things is limited. I have a couple of dear friends that are very athletic and very active and mobile, and they with your children as well, or going through what many parents and families are going through right now, to readjust, to try to provide normalcy without the fear. Somebody I listen to every morning when I can is the governor of New York State, Cuomo, who, if you're going to listen to any kind of a conference or any kind of news conference, his information is incredible. Compared to the panic-stricken uncertainty of other outlets. I'm going to stay away from politics right now. There is a lot of stuff that's coming up on the internet that is overwhelming and frightening and scary. And then right next to that are beautiful words and beautiful posts from people who are pretty amazing, who are summarizing the biggest thing right now, which I think is the most important part of all this, which is to not spread this thing, to try to take the steps that are necessary to reduce the spread of this crazy, crazy virus. And the hardest thing right now, I think for most of us, is to transmit this information to our young ones. When this thing first got publicized, there was a huge amount of information that came out targeting seniors, targeting people 60 and above, people with certain health conditions that are more vulnerable at risk. And that's true. It's incredibly true. If you have a respiratory problem or diabetes or a heart issue, and God forbid this thing works its way into your life, you're going to have a little bit of a rougher time. But the ones that were not addressed and the ones that were not talked about, and the reason I'm spending some time on this is because this is how I need, what I need this audience to hear really clearly. It's our kids. It's the future. The ones that are the most naive and the most in the state right now, where a lot of them still feel that it's a holiday, a snow day, spring break, which would have been upon us anyway this week, I believe. And this is the most important thing. The most important thing is to let them know that it's going to be okay and that certain things have to be different right now in your everyday lives. But more than that, the biggest news is that a lot of young people are ignoring the fact of, because what do we do when we were young? We play with our friends. We get together. We play baseball. We have big groups. We go shopping. We go to the mall for the younger generations and gather with the people that you have fun with. And that's got to be one of the hardest things for parents to deal with, to be able to explain that over and over to the kids that they just can't get out there like they did before, right now, just right now. And the means of which to spread positive and healing and useful, positive, uplifting information to our kids is to help them get through this. So besides the fact that telling your young one that you can't go outside and you can't play and you can't do things that you normally do is to culture and nurture, I guess that was the word I really wanted to use, them while they're inside the house. There's tons of things that you shouldn't do that are listed all over the internet, and I'm not going to go through all those lists right now. What I want to talk about just for another couple of minutes is just the fact that compassion goes so far. We have people out there on the front lines, the grocery workers, the healthcare workers, of course, the service people out there that are brave, incredible human beings that are doing things that a lot of us would be fearful to do. A lot of us would be just happy to just, you know, be inside, and that's what we have to do. I'm not saying that's not important, but we have to think about the smiles on their faces when you go into the grocery store, when you see a lot of people scared and a lot of people have those looks on their face. So smiling to people as you're passing them by goes a long way. Being thankful for the moment with the kids goes a huge long way. So I guess I'm going to leave this part of the conversation with that, with just the compassion for each other. Whatever your preferences spiritually, religiously, politically, put all that aside and try as hard as you can to care about the people that are next to you. And I think that's incredibly important. You know, there's a lot of sad stories right now, especially with the loss of lives. and businesses closing and people not knowing where they're going to go from here. I think my main thought about this, as I was talking to somebody yesterday about it, is we have to approach each 24 hours, a whole lifetime. We really do. We have to wake up this morning and take care of today, take care of things that are around the house, take care of the family members, and approach it just being glad that we're here today. We can laundry list all the problems that we're going to be facing and starting to face financially and health-wise, and having a day today to be able to use your energy and your ability to comfort is one of the greatest things you can do. And with saying that, also to be able to be safe. Just don't take anything for granted. And that doesn't mean to be paranoid or worried. That means just to enjoy moment by moment right now. All right, that's all I'm going to talk about. I got some good feedback on the garden boxes yesterday. I'm thinking that people with dressers all over the place are looking and missing drawers. We talked about using a dresser drawer to create a small garden box. Start thinking about planting some lettuce and some greens and things that might be very, very happy to have useful on a daily basis of cooking different things and doing different things for your appetite. And that is really important. Same thing with the water. Drink water. Drink, you know, as much as you can drink every day. 5, 6, 7 glasses. Stay hydrated. It's a really important part of everything that's going on. There's a tremendous amount of questions that people have on so many levels, and we try to cover a little bit of that every day, specifically connected to unemployment benefits and the ability to get some kind of supportive help right now, which many of us are going to need, especially if you're in the service industry and you're working for a smaller business, a smaller restaurant, a smaller store where times paid reserves for situations like this are non-existent. And there are some great stories about many companies and many businesses that are going to stand by their employees for the time being and do everything they can to provide income to them. And that's an incredible thing. But for those of us who don't have that ability or maybe don't have the savings and don't have the backup, I say don't panic. There are alternatives. They're going to have a moratorium on certain things, like mortgage payments for the most part and things like that. If you happen to own a house, you'd be given some time to be able to not have to worry about those payments right now, which hopefully will give people more economic security for the time being to get through this period of time. I suggested yesterday for some people to possibly call their landlords and their rental agents and find out what plan, if any, they might have to delay and defer certain payments that are going to be happening. You know, that's a possibility too. All right, I have somebody who's just called in, actually my good partner, Rhonda. Let me see if I can bring her into this phone call. Let's see. Hey, you there? Hello?
I'm here. I'm here.
Hey, there she is. Hey, thanks for calling in, my dear. And I don't know if you were listening to where the show's at right now, but I've just been talking about a couple of different things that hopefully are helpful to people. And I'd really love to hear your thoughts this morning about some of the things that you're experiencing and some of the ideas that you might have for people out there in relationship maybe to their kids and how to take care of them. Go ahead.
No, I haven't been with that long. I turned on the phone and there you were. So, I don't know where you were, what you were talking about earlier, but as far as kids, I think the biggest thing that I'm seeing, at least on the community level and the universal level, is just make smart choices and think of others besides just yourself. And I guess the word inconvenience, this isn't something that where we can, you know, I guess use that word so slightly inconvenienced. We all have, our lives have been changed a bit, and it's hard right now. It could get harder. I guess I would say, you know, stay home with your families, be around those you love, you know, make wise choices when you're going out, you know, make your shopping quickly. And stay in as much as you can, as much as possible. As much as that may bother you, there are good things you can do, two things maybe you haven't done for a while. And, you know, let your kids be on social media with their friends as much as they can. Don't make a big deal out of it, outside of making good choices, obviously. But
absolutely.
I guess for me, I've just been reading a lot, trying to encourage people, I guess, from where I'm at, people that are scared just like me and others that are kind of, you know, what's happening is such an unknown. And I'm not laughing it off because it's not funny, but I'm trying to find things that give you humor so you're not so caught up in the storm. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. That's what, I think you're right. I think, and you've been sending me some little blips here and there of things that actually just take everything away for a little bit, which I think is really important to have those kind of breaks. You know, and,
well, for me, I'm...
Tell me, go ahead.
Well, for me, I can only say, you know, I mean, this is a time where people, you know, are going through a huge, hard change and trying to figure out what to do. Everybody's home or some are at home, not by choice. Maybe they got the flu like I did. I got the flu. I got the flu on Friday and I couldn't stand up. And I didn't think, nothing came to my head that I had, you know, what was going around. But systematically, it was like, you know, that fear factor of got to get into the doctor, can't go to work, can't be around the old people, which would be normal on a normal day. I wouldn't go anyway. But just fighting through that, you know, and then hearing different things about, you know, stuff we don't understand. Like it may not be completely respiratory, as it can also be flu-like. So it was kind of a little scary there. But for me, I'm a
right,
woman of faith.
You've been fighting this.
Yeah, but I'm a woman of faith. My belief is in God. And that's where my trust is, and that was where my hope is at. But at the same time, I also knew I needed to make a decision. I'm not feeling better. I work with old people, and I have a staff, a very short staff. So to lose any of the staff by me being sick, and then also to, you know, go to work and, you know, make the older people and being in the food, in the kitchen where I'm at, it was just kind of a no-brainer for me. So
I was
going
to say that you're... You're on the front lines. I talked about that earlier, which you didn't hear, but I was talking about blessings.
Yeah. I'm on the front lines, and for weeks on weeks, we have people that come in and out. And as this thing has been, like, unfolding, you know, where I work, they have been taking measures, you know, to make sure people just aren't just aimlessly coming in. I mean, literally, I've even had a couple coworkers that I just love, and we've almost, like, ran down the hall to make sure that person signed in. Well, the measures now are even steeper, you know, but in that being said, there were people coming in at that time that were with respiratory head colds, caregivers, people like that stepping into the building. And some of us were subjected to some people that had, you know, some kind of a flu type of deal. So in that being said, that was just a few weeks into all of this happening. So we've all been.
And there wasn't a lot of information at that point in time at all.
No, where I work and everybody there, they were taking and are taking every measure even now to the best of their ability and to the best of their knowledge that's been given, you know. So and as far as I know now, I mean, from where I'm at, everything's fine, which is great. I thank God everybody's okay. But putting myself in that situation, you know, to go there and be there right now the way I'm feeling is like, no, that's
I know if you weren't feeling the way you were feeling, you'd be there right now. I know you. You'd be there.
Yeah, I would. And I've been there before many times when I really didn't feel up to it. But I just know that whatever this was that I got, it knocked me for a loop. And I also have an immune disorder too, fibromyalgia. So sometimes I always think, oh, maybe it's just my fibromyalgia. But unfortunately, when you get the flu, your fibromyalgia acts up too. And now you're, you know, you're no use to yourself or anyone else because your whole body's out of whack. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I'm still trying to also raise my 14-year-old daughter who's in between me with her dad and her dad and I. And that's tough, too.
I know that's been difficult.
Yeah. So not taking it quite as serious because she doesn't understand. So.
Right, plus you're exchanging her right now, at least between dad and you, so you're keeping her safe in between the 10-block difference between the two of you and haven't made a decision yet whether or not she's going to stay in one place. for the time being, but I know that causes additional stress as well.
And
I know there must be many people who are listening or experiencing what you're experiencing there. How are you dealing with that?
You know how people talk about their families, and we know today in society families are it's a little bit different. This is not my husband. This is just a man. I'm raising my daughter in a situation that is basically my child for 14 years, and I've been raising her with him in place of another family member too, and she's my daughter. She always will be. In that being said, I'm dealing with more of a situation where it's, a language barrier at times, and maybe a different way of raising a child, so it makes it harder. So I'm having to educate her dad on the level of understand the importance of keeping our family unit safe, being we are around each other all the time, like a family would be, that our job is to keep her safe. And our job is to keep each other safe. And that means that I'm not having all of my friends over. I'm not going out and doing this. And I'm staying home. I'm canceling things, birthday parties, whatever, because there's a sickness such as myself. And I'm not getting other people's children sick or family members. I'm taking responsibility. I'm being accountable with my person. And I'm also trying to do that with my child. And I'm also trying to help him understand. Yeah.
And you're doing great. That's a key issue right now that I talked about before you got on the air, which is just people, really have to understand that, aside from protecting the kids and keeping, them in a good situation, that you're sacrificing everything that you know how to do to make sure that what you have, this little flu bug, is not going to be in a situation to jeopardize somebody else. And not feel good about that. Feel like you're doing something to prevent somebody else from possibly getting sick and having their system weakened so that they'd be more vulnerable.
Right. Yeah. I think pretty much everybody is. I mean, I'm sitting here in my home this morning, and seriously, my street for the last couple of days, except for last night, there was a little bit more noise last night, but it lasted very brief. But pretty much you could drop a pin and you could hear the pin drop. Quiet. And honestly, I have to say I'm very thankful that my street is doing that. I can't say all of through, the community or other communities that are doing it. I just saw over in Tri-Cities a video of somebody basically saying, and this is somebody I do know quite well, that there are teenagers meeting and playing volleyball
exactly.
in the park right now. And they're doing that. And this is the thing that we're trying to encourage through, interneting, through social media, through communities and community settings, and encouraging families to stop doing. Because if we don't stop doing it, we're taking a chance of keeping it spreading. And the idea is that everybody becomes one.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, that's what we talked about in the beginning of the show. Yesterday I was talking about cooking and making garden boxes and planting a garden, and today I decided to concentrate on what you and I are talking about right now. Rhonda has an amazing story, and we just don't have time to really go through it all right now, but somebody who has dealt with a tremendous amount of loss and stress in her life over the last couple of years, but with that loss and that pain has turned so many positive heads around on the specific issues, which I really would like to invite you back maybe tomorrow to talk about some of that when you had more preparation. I got in touch with Rhonda about 5 minutes before it started. She said, I need your voice. I need a woman and mom's perspective to talk to our audience right now. And thank you so much for coming on so quickly. And I know you very well. You have a lot to give the people that are listening right now, and I'm so glad that you're part of this. But what you're saying right now is really true. The kids need to be held back. They need to understand that the young kids are okay. You can deal with the 5-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds, even the 12-year-olds, but the 15-year-olds, the 20-year-olds, the 25-year-olds who are taking this lightly still have parents and adult supervision to be able to say, you have to stop.
I think it's one of those things where you have to also say, too, the governor shouldn't have to tell us he's going to quarantine and shut us down. we should all have enough knowledge to know that we don't know what this is, but we have enough information out there right now that we can base it on the fact that it seems to be multiplying.
It
is. The desire is to stop multiplying it. So if you're going to do that, then you have to do that one thing. You got to put, you know, the lives of others ahead of your fun. You know, you got to create some ideas within your home, some fun times. It might be boring. It may be lonely. Reach out. You've got social media to do that. Write some songs. Maybe this is the time to write a book. I don't know, but put some creative things together. Do that.
Yeah.
You know, this might be a time and a season where some great things will come out of such a dark and discouraging moment. But the other thing is too, is also, you know, to not lose that encouragement, to encourage other people. I haven't lost mine. I'm encouraging people, even though I'm not feeling that great, you know, and I've seen people that are on the ventilator that are reaching out and saying, take this serious. This is what this looks like. And they are encouraging us to tell us that they are fighting so they can get back to their families. And we should have enough love and care and compassion in our hearts to not have to put ourselves there or put anybody else there by doing what the first thing we were asked to do, and that was to social distance.
Thank you, Rhonda E. This is Rhonda E., my personal hero. I appreciate your perspective so much. We only have a couple of minutes left, and I hope that, Rhonda, you'll stay on the air with me while I just close the show. I just wanted to reiterate that it would be a really good idea for us to come together and talk about the things that Rhonda was just talking about with our kids and with our friends via social media, and be able to have, a conversation that is going to allow them to know that these gatherings have to stop and this taking for granted in groups has to stop. And we have to put our foot down on that basis for sure. I wanted to say also that for those of you out there that have questions or are in need of some kind of help or want a personal just some idea of something that we're talking about or a summary, please don't hesitate to email me at Chef Stewardo. That's C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O at hotmail.com. Please feel free to send me any kind of comments or any kind of need that you may have for in some way, shape, or form. And I can put you in touch with the information that I have. And I can also possibly put you in touch with Rhonda E. because she's a good person. She knows a lot of things that I don't know as a man. And I say that only from her mother's perspective, that might be able to help some of you out there get through another day. I said earlier in the show that right now we have to approach life that every single day is a lifetime. Every day that we have is a lifetime. And so today is a whole lifetime, and tomorrow will be another one, and the day after that will be another one. Part of what we were talking about more than anything is to stay as calm as you possibly can, but also be able to take moments every day where you're just going to have to shut down social media for a little while. You're going to have the quiet mind, and probably during that point of time when stimulation isn't coming into your brain 100 miles an hour, you may lose it for a few minutes. You may cry. You may have to do that. You may have to do what I did last night, which was to go outside in the yard and scream at the top of my lungs for a minute or two just to get some of the stuff out of my system in order to try to be as clear as possible. Look up at the sky. Look at the trees. Listen to the birds. It'll make a huge difference. I really think so. Just want to thank everybody for tuning in again to this is Foodie Mania Show 7. Tomorrow will be Show 8, and it'll start at 9 a.m. Rhonda, thank you so much for participating with me today. And I will talk to you again tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.